From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. Hey, TGIF, it is Friday. Can you believe that? Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. I am your host, Al Martin. We've got a great hour of sports talk in store for all of our listeners out there as we get you prepped and ready for the weekend that is in the sporting world. Of course, here in mid-Michigan, the talk of the town tomorrow at noon will be the Michigan State and Wisconsin game. Michigan State opening up conference play against a foe that they haven't played. And get this, 4 years. A long time coming for this Michigan State and Wisconsin matchup, folks. We will break it down and give you wall-to-wall coverage on that game. We will also talk a little bit about the Penn State and Michigan game that will also take place tomorrow. And hey, folks, it was a long day of work for me yesterday as I attended not one but two Hall of Fame ceremonies. The Michigan State 2016 Hall of Fame class was officially inducted, as well as the Okemos High School 2016 Hall of Fame class. So you will get to hear from two pretty eminent names from yesterday's coverage. You don't want to miss that. And on the back end of the show, we will talk Lions-Packers, and we will reflect like we always do each and every Friday with Reflection Friday. We'll take your calls as well, 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. But hey, you know how we start this party. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, folks, we start with a brief rundown of Week 5 high school football action. Can you believe Week 5 is already here? Wow. All right, Week 5, here are your top Lansing area matchups, all right? East Lansing travels to play Holt tonight, who has won two straight games and is one of the co-leaders in the CAAC Blue. You also have Lansing Sexton at Okemos, St. John's at Waverly. Grand Ledge, the other co-leader in the CAAC Blue and defending league champ, is at Jackson. Stockbridge plays at Lakewood in a big GGLAC matchup. And also, Stockbridge is led by, of course, Mason G. Montgomery, who has completed 77 of 111 pass attempts, throwing for 1,096 yards and 21 TDs, along with 327 rush yards, two touchdowns, on 58 touches. The kid is must-see TV, all right? Laingsburg also at Fowler. Fowler's leading rusher, Scott Pemberton, has totaled 391 yards and two TDs on 44 carries. Mason at Hazlitt, Saranac at Bath, and Eden Rapids at Williamston. Just to give you a bit of a taste of what to expect tonight in high school football action. All right, on Thursday, former Michigan State punter Mike Sadler was officially inducted into the Michigan State Hall of Fame. On that same night, athletic director Mark Hollis announced that Sadler's number 3 will be on the midfield logo at Spartan Stadium tomorrow. Quote, "It was one of his goals to get into the MSU Hall of Fame," said Sadler's mother, Karen Sadler, who you'll hear from later on in the show. Karen also went on to say, quote, "The fact they waived that 10-year waiting period is such a great compliment to him. Not only will MSU honor the academic All-American, but Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney issued a commemorative coin this year that honors both Sadler and former Nebraska punter Sam Fultz. It is being used for the pregame coin toss before every conference game." We'll have more from the Michigan State Hall of Fame later on in the show. The 22nd-ranked Michigan State men's soccer team travels to College Park to face the current number one in the country, Maryland. MSU is 2-0 to start Big Ten play for the first time in school history and is currently riding a 4-game win streak behind 3 straight shutouts from redshirt sophomore keeper Jimmy Hogg. Now, the Terrapins are undefeated through 7 games with a 5-0-2 record that has earned them the number one ranking for the first time since October of 2012. Maryland is led by sophomore forward Gordon Wild, who has 8 goals in 7 games. Good enough to lead the Big Ten in goals and points, as well as put him in the top 4 of both categories nationally. This top 25 matchup of Big Ten unbeatens will kick off at 7:30 p.m. and will air on BTN+. Here is Damon Rensing, head coach of the Michigan State men's soccer team, previewing that very matchup.
Yeah, I heard they're pretty good.
Yeah, like, you know much about them at all?
They're very good. They're top 5 in the country. Yeah. They're as good as anybody is out there, and it's an awesome environment. They'll have 5,000, 6,000 people Friday night on the Big Ten.
Thanks to Zachary Swisicki for that bite. All right, 20th ranked Michigan State volleyball begins Big Ten play tonight at Jennison Fieldhouse when the Spartans take on Iowa at 7:30 p.m. on the Big Ten Network. The second half of the homestand is Saturday at 7 p.m. versus defending national champion number 1 ranked Nebraska. That game can be seen on BTN to go. MSU is on a 6-match winning streak and has a record of 11-1, with the only loss of the season coming at the hands of 7th-ranked Florida on September 4th. You can get in free on Saturday with a ticket stub from the MSU-Wisconsin football game. Saturday is also Children's Cancer Awareness Night. Make sure you wear your PJs to support. The 33rd annual Mary Fossum Invitational will be held this weekend at Forest Acres West Golf Course. The Invitational is set to showcase the top women's collegiate golf programs in the Midwest. This year, MSU will host Akron, Eastern Michigan, Central Michigan, Georgia Southern, Indiana, Miami of Ohio, Northern Illinois, Ohio, Princeton, Western Michigan, and Xavier. Michigan State has won the Invitational 7 of the last 10 times. Get this, folks. Hang tight, Tigers fans. After falling 3 games back in the wild card last weekend, the Detroit Tigers fans, as usual, were quick to say the season is kaput. But as Toronto continues to play poorly in the month of September and Baltimore losing 5 of 7 this past week, the Tigers have complete control of their second wild card spot. And you can imagine the Motor City hosting the wild card game. That'd be pretty insane, right? Well, that's a possibility when the Tigers only 1 game behind the top wild card spot after they beat Minnesota twice yesterday. The bullpen, who looked like they might have been reverting to their former ways for a second straight matchup, helped shut down the Twins. Michael Fulmer will take the mound for the D tonight, looking to bounce back from a rough start in Cleveland as the Tigers take on the Kansas City Royals at home, 7:10 p.m. first pitch. No Brady, no Gronk, no Garoppolo, and Bill Belichick's Patriots still cannot lose, with third-string rookie quarterback Jacoby Brissett starting. The Pats still put up 27 points on Houston, one of the league's best defenses. Brissett and LeGarrette Blount combined for 138 yards and 3 touchdowns. Not to overlook the Patriots defense, that shut out a Texans offense that totaled 42 points in their first 2 weeks. New England effectively took Houston's 2 biggest stars, J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins, completely out of the game, leaving the Texans helpless and without an answer. Since December 24th of 2000, New England is 83-0 when leading at the half at home. Are you kidding me? That is a crazy stat. And now I'm sure many of us have seen how aggressive MSU students can be on their bikes around this campus, but be careful, drivers, all right? Ohio State assistant coach Greg Schiano struck an OSU student on his bike Thursday morning while driving near Ohio Stadium. The cyclist is said to be in stable condition. Without further ado, let's start the show. We'll be right back.
I've never done this before.
Miami Heat star Chris Bosh hosting a Facebook Live session talking about his medical condition, his life, and his future with the team.
We're going to have a great season. I can't wait to get back out there on the court and really just play basketball.
Bosh missed much of the last two seasons, first with a blood clot in his lung, and then last season, more blood clots found in his leg.
They informed me that my oxygen levels were dangerously low.
That revelation made in an online documentary produced and starred in by Bosh. In it, he says several team doctors told him that his health issues are likely career-ending, but he doesn't buy it, saying he feels, quote, written off by the team, and he found his own doctor who cleared him to play basketball.
Than a guy who you never know if his blood's going to stop working?
The issue providing plenty of chatter on Sports Talk 790 The Ticket. Former UM star and now retired NFL player DJ Williams left football because of potential health issues. His take on Bosh's desire to return?
I do not understand it. If I had one doctor say there was a 0.5% chance, I would not play with or without the money, to be honest.
And that is how we start this afternoon's Current Sports. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, I am your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy Friday. Wow, I tell you what. You know, I feel like every single Friday I come on Current Sports, I say, man, I can't believe it's already Friday. But I can this week. Okay, it's been a long week, folks. And I am certainly ready for the weekend. I know many of you out there are revved up and are really anticipating this matchup between Michigan State and Wisconsin. It should be a fun one. The weather looks to be a nice 70 degrees. The sun will be out. Looking forward to that one, folks. And before we give you guys a wall-to-wall preview of that very game, again, you guys know I love to start the show with the most interesting thing that I've seen in the last 24 hours leading up to 1 p.m. the following day. And clearly, this was the one for me, folks. Yeah. Speaking of screaming, right, Chris Bosh has to be on edge right now. He is a man who I'm certainly is on the verge of screaming if he hasn't already done so. This is a player who has been a multiple-time All-Star in the National Basketball Association. He has won an NBA championship, multiple, I should say, with the Miami Heat. He was a part of that, not one, not two, not three, that whole fiasco with Dwayne Wade and LeBron James really, you know, joining forces together to try and create a dynasty. And now you look at the landscape of Miami Heat basketball, and it has completely changed. Bosh, the last of the big three to, again, now, I don't know if you guys have heard the news, but, again, I want to give credit to that report. That comes from WTVJ NBC6 out in Miami, as they talk about Bosh's battle with blood clots. But news came around 12 noon today that the Miami Heat are not clearing Chris Bosh to return to the game of basketball after yet another failed physical. I want to read a brief statement. This is coming from the team's statement concerning Chris Bosh. Quote, the Miami Heat and Chris Bosh, in consultation with team doctors and other physicians, have been working together for many months with the mutual goal of having Chris return to the court as soon as possible. Chris has now taken his preseason physical. The Miami Heat regret that it remains unable to clear Chris to return to basketball activities. And it's so crazy because I've been following Chris and his journey trying to get back on the court, and he actually released a video yesterday addressing his health and addressing how, you know, he was ready to get back on the court. He's feeling good. And now he gets this news. And blood clots are nothing to play with, folks. And he's been battling through this medical condition for quite some time now. And if he does go out there when he's not cleared to play, and Miami Heat won't act recklessly here, okay? If there is not a medical document out there that says, Chris, you can't play, the Miami Heat aren't going to adhere from that and say, all right, go out there and ball out. No, health comes first. And when it comes to Chris Bosh, I mean, this is a guy who is very, very talented. This is a guy who is right now the biggest draw for the Miami Heat fan base because, again, you don't have LeBron James there anymore. He just won an NBA championship with the Cleveland Cavaliers. You don't have Dwayne Wade returning. Dwayne Wade will be suiting up now with the Chicago Bulls. Chris, this is really his team. But if he can't get out there, I mean, what is the organization going to do now? I really believe, and you heard that final snippet from a local sports talk guy in Miami addressing Chris Bosh and his medical condition, and I totally have to agree with him. If there is any chance that this situation is life-threatening, that if you do try and force yourself to go out there and play a game that you, granted, that you love, that there's a chance that you could die from it. Come on, dude. You got to hang up the sneaks. Simple as that. And it hurts to say that because, again, this is a guy who's been playing the game of basketball for 30-plus years. It has been it's ingrained in his DNA. And even more so than the whole conversation of blood clots, the thing about blood clots, you know, according to Chris is, I mean, he doesn't feel any physical pain. You know, he feels 100%. He feels like he can go out there and play a full NBA season. But the thing about blood clots are, I mean, they can sneak up on you, and then all of a sudden you can pass out, go into a coma, and some bad things can happen, all right? So I hope, Chris, that you were financially smart with your money throughout your basketball career. And I really hope that you do walk away from the game. As much as it hurts me to say that, because I'm a big fan of you, do what's right for your long-term health because it simply is not worth it. I'm curious to get your thoughts on Chris Bosh. This is news that is spreading like wildfire. I'm looking here on ESPN.com. It is the top headline. The top headline out there. I'm looking on Twitter, and everybody's talking about Chris Bosh. I have my stepdad, my childhood friend, and my cousin all texting me simultaneously about this news. It's pretty big news, folks, to just think that we won't see Chris Bosh on the hardwood again. That's a tough pill to swallow. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I know before I move on and we start to dive into college football talk as it pertains to Michigan State and Wisconsin, I know Isaac Constance, our engineer of Current Sports, wants to weigh in on this, seeing as though he is a big NBA aficionado. What do you think, Isaac? Because it's tough. This is a tough situation for Chris. Really has to you ride the fence as an NBA fan because you want to see Chris back out there. But at the same time, we're talking about something pretty serious here.
It hurts you and it hurts him seeing him have to go through this, and it shows you just his unadulterated love for the game of basketball. Because Chris Bosh, as far as I'm aware, has been financially keen and knows what he's doing with his money. He's all set up for the rest of his life. The thing is, you want to play basketball. You've got a contract. You've got fans. You want to go out and do what has made you famous, which has made you a superstar. So for Chris Bosh to have to walk away from the game, it's heartbreaking. At the same time, you'd rather it be heartbreaking in a figurative sense than a literal one. You do not want another Hank Gather situation. It's my favorite 30 for 30 ever made. Guru of the Go. And it was the saddest basketball story that's ever taken place. Blood clots, like you mentioned, we're not talking about something that could derail the rest of his career, because that's what they're doing right now. We're talking about something that could end his life. Mm-hmm. This is bigger than basketball. I commend the Miami Heat for stepping up and acknowledging that, although I think any team would. But Chris Bosh, unfortunately, I think it's time to retire and remember him as the guy who got the all-important rebound in that game six, mm-hmm. dished it out to Ray Allen. Nah. He's had a great career. He really has, but it's time to hang it up, and he'll always be remembered fondly.
And my, oh my, how quickly, you know, things change in a matter of years, right? I mean, the Miami Heat were the Golden State Warriors of the league today, back in the day, right? And you know, they were, you know, they had LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh all on the same team. You bring in a veteran like Ray Allen. I mean, that team was stout for many, many years. And now, you know, LeBron's gone, Dwayne Wade's gone, Chris Bosh, we probably won't see him back on the hardwood. It's so crazy, man, how quickly things can change, how quickly the paradigm of sports can have you on the high, the highs of highs, right? And then you experience the lows of lows where you are ideally rebuilding. So rooting for you, Chris, and praying for you, brother. All right, moving on now. I want to invite also to the show Zachary Swisicki as well as Zach Barnes, as they will join us for the conversation concerning the Michigan State football team as they get ready to begin a possible quest for back-to-back Big Ten championships, opening up conference play against the Wisconsin Badgers tomorrow at noon at Spartan Stadium. Again, as I mentioned, the first time that these two programs have met in 4 years, which absolutely blows my mind. Wisconsin, right now, they're 3-0. Michigan State, they sit at 2-0 when you evaluate the win last weekend on Saturday night under the lights against Notre Dame. And, you know, there's some interesting storylines that at least center on Wisconsin as they approach this matchup. Now, first off, I just want to get my preview out the way. I think Michigan State is going to win this game. I was chatting with Zachary here, and Zach looked up how right. Oh my goodness, I forgot we had that bite on there, right?
Michael Buffer. Yeah.
When we had Michael Buffer on the show, the famous ring announcer, he came on and thank you, Isaac, for that. But when you look at this game, right now Michigan State is a 5-point favorite to win it in Vegas. And you look at Wisconsin, you evaluate the road that they've had to get here. Now, I hate to bring this up, Isaac, because I know you're a big LSU guy. Wisconsin began the year out in Lambeau Field, and they took on your LSU Tigers. And they beat LSU. And I'm sitting there watching that game, and I'm saying Wisconsin is for real. This isn't a team that you can just overlook. But I will say this. They're coming into this matchup, and they're making a dramatic quarterback change, bringing in Hornibrook, a guy who is a true freshie, who hasn't really been tested. And now, granted, I will say, without Hornibrook, they would have lost that game last week against Georgia State because, I mean, that game was closer than anyone expected, right? But you bring in Hornibrook into an atmosphere where he's at Spartan Stadium. He's got to deal with this ruckus crowd there. You know, you're going against a Michigan State defense that is always good every single year. I mean, just imagine if Riley Bullough or John Reschke gets him in the backfield or something like that, Malik McDowell. I mean, how he responds to that is going to be very interesting, being a young quarterback taking on a Michigan State team to start the conference year. I don't know about that, dude. I don't know about that. I'm choosing Michigan State to win this game.
I'm choosing Michigan State as well. And one thing I think you need to add in there is Corey Clement for Wisconsin is one of the best running backs in the Big Ten. Of course, Wisconsin's got a long history of that with Monty Ball and all of those great running backs to come out of Madison, Wisconsin. But at the same time, Corey Clement is questionable. He's not 100%. He's not close to it. So Hornibrook comes in. Not only does he have to contend with the clamor of Spartan Stadium with one of the best defenses in the entire nation, he has to deal with an added workload because Corey Clement is not 100%. So I think the Spartan defense, this is their chance to make things right. This is the chance for the defensive line to get some momentum going because they are dealing with a freshman quarterback who isn't necessarily prepared to step up in the pocket when Malik McDowell is in his face. Mm-hmm. This is also a chance for the secondary to start gelling together. Darian Hicks, this could be his come-alive game because Wisconsin does not have a single receiver over 200 yards on the season. They don't have a go-to guy. Also, the Wisconsin defense, they've showed their voids at different times this year. Now, given they haven't given up more than 14 points, at the same time, the best offense they've played is LSU, which is not saying that much as I hate to say it. The defensive line is good. The next Watt in succession is fantastic. The linebacker, forgetting his TJ Watt, I believe. Mm-hmm. But Wisconsin's got a few holes they need to fill. I think they are one of those teams that start off the year on fire. Great win versus LSU, very deserved, but as the season progresses, you see more and more, maybe they're not worth the ranking. I've got MSU winning this too, and I don't think it's going to be quite as close as the Notre Dame game.
Now, let's not get this twisted. I still think Wisconsin is a good football team.
Me too.
I think it's going to be a close game, and again, when you evaluate, there's two question marks here. There's two glaring question marks that we have concerning Michigan State. Those question marks being what we've alluded to all week, that defensive line has to put some pressure on the quarterback. Mm-hmm. So if you're Hornibrook, when you look at those first two games for Michigan State, you have in knowing that all right.
You got a smirk.
Yeah, exactly. that pass rush is sorry right now, with the exception of Malik McDowell. But you put two guys on him, and they still can't crack it. So, also, you brought up a good point when it comes to the secondary. The secondary is it's got a lot of leaks in it right now. And we saw when Notre Dame, when their backs were against the wall, when they had to force the ball down the field just to stay in contention in that game, you saw DeShone Kizer able to operate that offense pretty easily because, one, he had all the time in the world, and, two, those Michigan State corners couldn't guard a soul. So, and when you look at this, you know, also for Michigan State offensively, another key matchup that I'm going to be looking at is Michigan State wide receiver R.J. Shelton versus the Wisconsin defense. I mean, Shelton had eight catches for 80 yards and a touchdown against Notre Dame. That's deceiving, though, because some of those quote-unquote catches were little flips forward from quarterback Tyler O'Connor, essentially handoffs that are counted as completions. And, you know, Shelton came across behind the line of scrimmage, and he was able to do some great things against a Notre Dame defensive line and defense that is totally overrated. So there's some interesting matchups here. And I'm wondering, you know, because I think R.J. Shelton is the most consistent receiver that Michigan State has, how he will operate on a week-to-week-to-week basis, especially here in Game 3 now for Michigan State, is going to be something fun to watch. So let's move this thing on. Let's start with Zach Swisicki here. Zach, what do you think about this matchup, and who do you think pulls it out?
You guys previewed it very well. You took the words right off my sheet right here.
So we stole your thunder there,
exactly.
Right?
But I'm just looking at the injury report. MSU has really no key injuries, and Wisconsin has about a dozen that are either questionable or out. Isaac mentioned Corey Clement. The backup running back, Taiwan Deal, is also dealing with an injury. If neither of them can go, they're looking at a true freshman starting at running back. And Wisconsin is leading the Big Ten in time of possession. If they can't have a running game, they're going to be struggling to really prevent MSU from bringing pressure. I know you said the D-line's been struggling, but if they don't have to worry about a run game, they can just drop back and prevent anything over the top.
So true. Zach Barnes.
Well, that's the thing. So you talk about the run game. Say what you want about LSU. That's still a very good team with a very good defense that returned a lot of players. And Wisconsin got a ton of push against them up front. So on the offensive line against a weak Michigan State D-line. So actually, I think Wisconsin has the edge there. But like you said, there are three running backs out for Wisconsin. So that's the issue. I think they do have the edge up front, at least offensively, but they don't have anyone to do anything with it. So that's a big problem there. That's why I don't think they will be able to get anything going. But just in theory, just think, you know, if they have a healthy running back, if Clement, you know, he's not ruled out by any means, if he does come back, look for Wisconsin's O-line to dominate Michigan State up front. Secondly, you mentioned R.J. Shelton. I do not like him as a go-to, and I don't think fans should. He's not the Burbridge. He's not the Lippitt. Yet he did have eight of those receptions, say what you want about the flips or whatever. Monty Medeiros wasn't seeing enough. Felton Davis. He wasn't seeing enough catches. That's the problem. There's not an established go-to guy yet, and I feel like Tyler O'Connor needs that. And I don't think R.J. Shelton, with his size, the way he plays, can be that. So I worry with that as well. So I still think Michigan State, despite what they did to Notre Dame, has a lot of kinks to get through. Now, do I think Michigan State will win? Absolutely. I just think this Wisconsin team is much tougher, especially on the defensive line. The MSU offensive line did great against Notre Dame. But like you said, that Notre Dame pass rush is not going to be like Wisconsin's. So how does Tyler O'Connor react under pressure? Guys are going to be getting in there quick. And does he find consistent receivers that, you know, isn't R.J. Shelton? So that's why I'm not completely sold. You guys are kind of ripping on Wisconsin over here.
No, I think Wisconsin is a very good football team. I think there's going to be a close game. I don't foresee a blowout here.
Okay.
I don't know.
I don't foresee a blowout. I see a 10-point game, though. I see
really?
MSU.
Really?
I'm giving my call
that.
Right
what
now.
Is close?
24-14.
I think
24
okay.
to 14.
Okay. I think that's still close.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
no,
10
not
points
whatsoever.
Isn't...
Is it a blowout?
No.
But at the same time, it's a
steady,
you know, handily win.
I think you brought up a good point, Zach. When you look at Tyler O'Connor, you know, I need to see more from Tyler O'Connor in this game, because there's been moments that we've seen in the first two games where Tyler has not been the most accurate quarterback. I mean, when you talk about the Donnie Corley throw, I mean, Donnie Corley made a catch, excuse me. Donnie Corley made a great adjustment in air to to really turn what looked to be an interception into...
Otherwise, it's a touchdown and two picks instead of two touchdowns and one pick.
Certainly.
You know?
I think there's going to be a bit of a spotlight on Tyler O'Connor in this game to see if he's getting better as the weeks progress. And you mentioned, you know, how you would like to just see the football spread around to different receivers. I mean, that ideally falls on Tyler O'Connor.
And he did a better job of not staring down guys like he did in Furman, but there were still times he stared down receivers. And it's like, I'm only going to Shelton. I'm only going to go to Price. It's like, there are so many weapons. For as many athletes MSU lost and how young they are, there are so many weapons. Use them. Exactly. Use them.
Zach, any more points, my man?
One thing I forgot to mention was, you know, the D-line isn't getting pressure on the quarterback, but they are first in run defense in the Big Ten and eighth in the country, 72 yards a game. Even if Corey Clement can go.
Well, I think that's a little deceptive. Furman averaged like 4 yards a carry. Right. I mean.
It is. Yeah. You have to take that with a grain of salt. I get it, but
And their kicker, Rafael Gaglione, is out. If it's a close game and it comes down to the wire, what are they going to do? They do have a backup kicker. Obviously, you're a college kicker. You can make kicks, but do they trust him coming down to the game?
So true. So true. So, again, my players to watch, and you guys already alluded to, I mean, Corey Clement, you know, if he can play, because right now he's listed as questionable right now because of that left ankle injury. And again, you know, Alex Hornibrook, I am very intrigued to see if Alex can go into enemy territory and get something positive going for this Badgers team. Just a few fun facts here. The last time Wisconsin played at Spartan Stadium was back in 2011 when Michigan State won 37-31 on a tie-breaking Hail Mary on the game's final play. You guys remember that? Where were you guys when that moment happened? Because I was watching it with my fraternity brothers, and we went just nuts. I was what, a junior? Yeah, I was a junior in college at the time. Isaac, do you remember where you were on that?
Well, I'll
that moment?
Be honest, Al, because you know that I like to follow sports and I do it universally. But being from down south, I remember the little Giants play. I wasn't making up that story whatsoever. I remember seeing it live rolling around on my sofa, whatever. I don't remember that whatsoever. I don't know what I was doing at the time. I don't know where I was. I do not have any recollection. I read that and I thought, that's cool.
Right, right. What about you guys? The two Zags here?
I feel like I can't pinpoint where I was, but I remember, you know, growing up in a Michigan State household, I loved Keith Nichol because I like how he's supposed to be a quarterback, and then he was the one that made that play, you know, converted wide receiver. So I just remember that being the coolest thing in the world, but you stumped me. I can't remember where I was.
Were you guys at Michigan State at all?
No.
You guys made me feel old.
I was probably a freshman in high school, freshman or sophomore.
What?
I think that's freshman year.
Freshman high school?
Are you kidding me? I feel old.
You're getting old, Al.
I'm getting old, man. I'm knocking on the door of 30. I feel I'll be actually 26 in October. So
You're not knocking on 30 then.
Hey, man, when you reach past 25, it's like, and you hit 26, it's like,
you just got to run up.
I'm closer to 30 than I am 20. You know,
well,
that's how you start.
What age you the most, Al? It's all the recent string of weddings.
Right,
you are getting old.
Yeah,
man.
Dude. Every single week, I always tell this story to everybody when we had this conversation. I feel like every morning I wake up on Facebook, I see one of three things. Either somebody has gotten engaged, somebody has gotten Prego, or somebody has gotten married. Okay, I see that at least three times throughout the week, to be realistic.
Hey,
here,
you were in the Dominican Republic. I will take any wedding if I can go to the Dominican Republic. I love it down there.
Oh, it was a good time, but my wallet is still hurting. Let's just put it that way, okay? So, all right, well, let's hit our first break. Also, I want to mention this. Michigan State has won 6 of the last 7 games against ranked opponents. The lone defeat was against... Alabama last year. You guys know how that one panned out, right? So our first break. When we come back, we will talk Hall of Fame for both Okemos High School and Michigan State. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We just finished our preview on the Michigan State and Wisconsin game, and I want to know what you guys think about tomorrow afternoon's matchup. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll be taking your calls for the next 30 minutes at least, up until 2 p.m. when we say goodbye for the weekend, folks. Man, time is flying. I tell you what, yesterday was such a busy day for Current Sports, seeing as though we were out covering both the Michigan State Hall of Fame, as well as the Okemos High School Hall of Fame ceremony. It was so cool just heading out and talking to individuals who have certainly made their respective marks on Okemos High as well as here at Michigan State University athletically. And you look at the accomplishments and you look at all of the accolades. I mean, man, it's always cool to talk to a Hall of Famer because there's so many memories and there's so many tales of the work that they put in to even be thought of for an honor such as a Hall of Fame. And I started at Michigan State, and the ceremony took place at the Wharton Center. And right before the ceremony took place, there was a media availability. And it's a fantastic class that includes one man who is certainly the literal definition now of being the exception to the rule, Mike Sadler, who passed away, former Michigan State University punter, who passed away victim of a car accident this past summer. His mother, Karen, was in the building to accept the honor of Mike going into the Hall of Fame. Now, traditionally, you have to wait at least 10 years to be considered for the MSU Hall of Fame. Mike, it just goes to show how he was really a once-in-a-lifetime type of a guy. I mean, his impact here at Michigan State. And to be a punter, I mean, this guy was a kicker. You don't hear, a kicker in the world of football making an impact like that, like that of Mike Sadler, I should say. And I spoke with Karen Sadler, and it was a very emotional interview, but what really stood out to me was just how strong, first off, Karen is, but also how compassionate she is and how caring she is. Something that when you hear people talk about Mike Sadler, that's constantly brought up. And we'll get to that interview in just a second. Starting off, though, after I went to Michigan State, I went to the Okemos High School 2016 Hall of Fame ceremony, in which 11 individuals and 3 teams were inducted into that Hall of Fame. And that was at the Crown Plaza West Hotel in Lansing, Michigan. And I got a chance to chat with that class. I ran into Ira Childress, who's the athletic director at Okemos High. He's doing one fabulous job. And one of the big names who really headlined the class this year was, of course, Travis Bader. Travis Bader is now a professional basketball player who currently plays in Europe. He also played on the Lithuanian basketball team, and he plans on playing in the NBA's D League for this upcoming year. Travis Bader played at Okemos High School, was a fabulous player there, and he went on to play men's basketball, men's collegiate basketball at Oakland University from 2010 to 2014. And he was a fabulous player. And he actually holds the NCAA Division I men's basketball record for most made 3-point field goals in a respective career. Unbelievable, right? In the history of Division I college basketball, Travis Bader holds that record. So I want to first start off with my chat with Travis. It's a media scrum, so you get to hear what the questions that Travis addressed right before the ceremony took place. And I tell you what, this young man has a bright future ahead of him. Here's how that chat went. All right, Travis, first off, man, what's this feel like to come back to your hometown of Okemos and get enshrined into the Hall of Fame?
It's amazing. You know, as a kid, you dream of being a professional athlete and seeing how far you can take it. And you really don't think about, Hall of Fames and stuff like that. So, to be able to come back and share this with such a great group of athletes and coaches and, teams that have done amazing things, it's just very special, especially, where you're from, to have your high school, your city kind of honor you is just a very special feeling.
Everybody asks this, but what are you doing now?
So I play over in Europe, play professional basketball. Last year I played in Lithuania, the year before that I played in France, and I played in the D League. So I'm actually just home right now, just training, trying to figure out what my next move is, where I'm going to go in Europe. Hopefully I'll find out soon and be on my way.
Do you still hope to come back here and play in the NBA?
Oh, of course. That's always going to be a dream to play in the NBA. I think as long as you're playing, no matter what level, if, overseas, I think that's always something everybody thinks about, is to get to the NBA. And just being a competitor, you always want to just get to the top. So as long as I'm still playing basketball, I still always want to get to the NBA.
Travis, what have you learned about the business of sports? I mean, now playing professionally overseas, I mean, what do you like and what don't you like about the professional realm of basketball?
Honestly, I've realized it's not for everybody. You see a lot of guys who go over there who have amazing talents, and it just doesn't work out. You know, some people can't handle, you know, being overseas over in Europe. And then I've also seen the D-League aspect of it's not all that glorified with just the money, the living, the situations, but it's about, you know, how bad people want to pursue their dreams. You know, for me, it's been an amazing experience. I've gotten to see many different countries. Before I did this, you know, I never even left the U.S. So for me, it's just seeing different cultures, playing a game, making money, and trying to pursue my dreams.
What are the best memories you remember playing
at Adams? My best memories? Oh, man. You know, there's a lot. You know, a lot of the camaraderie just with the guys, just being able to see guys back at, you know, home and in different places, and being able to just talk about different stories. You know, for me, that always sticks in my head is buzzer beater against Holt at home. Just to have the fans rush the court and just kind of have that atmosphere was amazing and something that's always going to stick with me. And then obviously just winning, you know, district championships and doing well team-wise.
Travis, this is pretty special because, of course, you're coming home here to Okemos, and being away in a whole other country, I can only imagine what that is like. How cool is it just to be home?
It's awesome. You know, just to be surrounded by friends, family, you know, past people that I used to spend every day with, and get to see Coach Stoltz and, you know, all these people. It's just, it's amazing. It brings back so many memories. And it just makes me realize, you know, what I'm still pursuing, what I'm trying to reach. You know, I see Coach Stoltz, and it just reminds me of all those hours we spent in the gym trying to, you know, get me to reach my full potential. And it just brings that all back and makes me want to work harder.
Like you said, this is not for everybody. What has been your favorite part about the journey from Okemos to Europe?
You know, just kind of getting to experience the world. I never thought, you know, about Europe as I was growing up. I always dreamed of being a professional. I always dreamed of that being the NBA. And, you know, when things don't work out as you plan right away, you know, there's another path. And for me, that's been Europe. For me, it's been the D-League. And, you know, it's just been amazing to kind of experience all kinds of people, meeting teammates from Ohio State, Florida, Duke, just kind of getting to play with these guys, see different cultures, and just go through the ups and downs. I mean, it's all about the journey for me. Not really, you know, you think about the end destination, and I've always thought about playing in the NBA, and I still do. But right now, it's just kind of about enjoying the journey.
Travis, correct me if I'm wrong, but do you still hold that 3-point Division I record with 504, I believe? Does that still stand?
Yeah. Yep.
How does that feel? You've made the most three-pointers in anyone in basketball history that's played Division I basketball. I mean, that has to blow your mind.
Yeah, it does. And like I said, that's one of the things you don't think about as you're training in the gym, as a freshman, as a sophomore in college. You're not thinking about breaking records. You're thinking about trying to get to the NCAA tournament, especially being from a mid-major. That's your main goal, is trying to win your conference so you can get to the NCAA tournament. And along the way, to be able to break a national record held by J.J. Redick, and, you know, I've had time to kind of go back and look at it and look at the list, and you're passing guys like Steph Curry. Obviously, he only stayed for 3 years, but it's unreal to kind of see that. You know, you look up to these guys and you realize you passed them in a statistical category. And hopefully, you know, it sticks for a long, long time.
You're the Steph Curry of college basketball. It's safe to say, right?
Yeah.
Very cool record, right? Travis Bader, he is a one-of-a-kind dude, and we wish him luck as he tries to make his NBA dreams come true. Now, shifting the mood briefly here. Again, last night, the Michigan State Athletics Department kicked off the Celebrate 2016 weekend with a formal induction of 8 new members into the Hall of Fame and, of course, the Varsity Letter Jacket Ceremony. Those individuals who received that honor were, of course, Eric Allen, football, track and field, Don Beam, wrestling, Trevor Harris, soccer, Steve Jude, football and baseball, Ann Payway Kadamian, cross country, track and field, Ken Popejoy, cross country and track and field, Patty Raduz, softball, and, of course, Mike Sadler, former Michigan State football punter, where the athletics department decided to make an exception to the rule and waive the 10-year contract eligibility period and put Mike in, a part of the 2016 class. And, of course, Mike's number three will this weekend, tomorrow, noon kickoff, in the middle of the field, in the middle of that Spartan head, you will see Mike's number three as a tribute to him. I got a chance to chat with a woman who is so strong and who I admire, along with many of us out there who have heard this story, who I admire so much, Karen Sadler. Karen took some time to chat about what this honor means to the Sadler family.
Just put in perspective what this means for the Sadler family.
Yeah, sure. Well, it's a huge honor. You know, Mike worked so hard when he was here, and he always tried to do things right, and, you know, clearly he did. This would be such an honor for him. I wish he was here to do it, to get it himself and tell you how much it means to him, but I can tell you it would have been the world to him. Mm-hmm. It really would have been.
Karen, what have these last few months been like for you emotionally? Because I can only imagine it's been an emotional roller coaster, right?
Yeah, it's been very emotional. You know, clearly there's a huge void in our lives, and you know, I miss him every single day. We had our routine that we do, and we were really good friends. But you know, aside of missing him, it's been real busy with, you know, commitments and obligations and events like this, which are positive for us because it helps to keep his name and legacy alive, which is so important to us. So we have good days and bad days, and we take one at a time and try to stay strong like he would have.
When you got the call that the Michigan State Athletic Hall of Fame committee was going to make an exception for your son, I mean, what was your immediate reaction?
Yeah, actually it wasn't a call. It was the same day that we had his celebration of life at Spartan Stadium.
Wow.
And after the ceremony, Coach D and Mark Hollis took us to center field to the Spartan head, and they explained that there had been a full investigation of Mike's credentials, and the trustees and the administration had decided to waive the 10-year period for waiting and induct Mike this year. And so it was a nice ending to that ceremony. It was so emotional, you know. It let us leave on a high note, and just thrilling. You know, I was so proud.
Do you have a favorite memory from Mike's life?
Oh, I couldn't.
There's
so many. I couldn't narrow that down to one. Yeah. I mean, he just gave us so many great memories, and yeah, it made us so proud. So proud.
How should he be remembered?
He should be remembered as somebody who really cared about other people. You know, he worked hard, he played hard, but in the end, it came down to him being really compassionate toward other people.
What can we expect? Because are you giving a speech at all, Karen? What can, and that takes so much strength. I mean, what can we expect from your words tonight?
Well, I hope that you glean something about Mike out of them. You know, Michigan State meant a lot to him. I only have 5 minutes and. So that's not much time, but I'm going to try and wrap it up and share a little bit about what Michigan State meant to him, and also what I know exactly what he would say to these varsity jacket winners tonight. And so I'm going to try to impart some of that.
Karen Sadler, the mother of the late Mike Sadler. What strength, folks. All right, let's do our second break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on this Friday edition of Current Sports by previewing the Penn State-Michigan game, of course, Lions and Packers this Sunday, and we will have Reflection Friday to close things out. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Penn State will take on Michigan to open up conference play this weekend. The Nittany Lions bounced back last week with a win over Temple, but now the Big Ten slate hits fast and hard with a road trip to Ann Arbor. That's right. Penn State sits at 2-1 on the year. Michigan is 3-0. Kickoff will take place at 3:30 p.m. in Ann Arbor. And right now, the betting line has Michigan minus 18.5. So, you know, when you evaluate how Penn State's season has gone thus far, and, you know, I want to bring up that Pitt game. How big was that, right? Former Michigan State defensive coordinator Pat Narduzzi is doing some special things out at Pitt. And, you know, that was a huge game. I mean, renewing that rivalry, that in-state rivalry, and what a matchup it was at Heinz Field. And, man, upsetting, though, if you are a Penn State fan. So when you evaluate this game, I mean, Michigan, they showed a lot of holes in their game last week against Buffalo, especially when you talk about that Michigan defense. I mean, they have allowed just 17 points. They had allowed, I should say, just 17 points over the first two games of the year. But last week, again, some cracks began to show as the Buffaloes averaged nearly 10 yards per pass and threw for 3 touchdowns. Now, on the other hand, Colorado scored just 7 points after the first quarter. Still, the opportunity is there for Penn State, I think, to attack Michigan with a passing game that has completed 71% of its throws over the past 2 weeks with a 10.5 yards per attempt stat line. So it's going to be a fun game, I think. You know, the running game, you know, might not be the biggest problem for Penn State on Saturday, though. That's because, you know, all Big Ten tight end Jake Butt will be running through a field defended by 3 backup Penn State linebackers. So I really think there's opportunities for this Michigan offense to, again, put up big numbers for yet another week. And, you know, the Wolverines, they love to mix it up with their rushing attack as 6 different non-quarterback players carried the ball more than one time last weekend against Colorado. And leading the charge will be senior tailback Davion Smith, who is averaging just about 6 yards per carry on the young year. You know, if the Lions can shut him down, you know, look for freshie Chris Evans to possibly get involved. But at the end of the day, I think Michigan does pull this game out. I've always said that when you look at Michigan's schedule so far this year, they're not really challenged until the later part of the season, okay? So, ideally, we really don't know. You know, you hear all these national pundits and analysis talk about how Michigan is a top 5 or top 10 college football team right now. We really don't know because they have not been legitimately tested. Michigan wins this game, I think, by, if I have to throw out a score here, 27-17 over Penn State. What do you think, Isaac?
You know, I think that Michigan's going to more or less run over Penn State. I'll be honest with you, just because Penn State, watching that Pittsburgh game, I think they are deflated a little bit. I don't necessarily like the new quarterback situation. And I think James Franklin, more or less, he was supposed to be the messiah, the savior for this team. Nah.
He's on a hot seat.
That's not happening.
Yeah.
So I like Michigan in this game. I like it more or less a runaway. Although Colorado was supposed to be more of a runaway as well, a blowout for this Michigan team, Colorado was underrated. This is a team that absolutely destroyed their nemesis in Colorado State. And in the year before, they'd only won by 3, I believe, in overtime. So, and this year, they won by 45. So Michigan, they're good. And we know they're good. They're tested. You mentioned Davion Smith. I think he's going to have a field day as well as Jake Butt. And then Jabril Peppers further asserted himself in the Heisman race. I think Michigan wins this. I think 17.5 is a fair line, but I think Michigan beats, or 18.5 rather. I think Michigan beats it, wins by about 20.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you talk about the Heisman conversation right now. It's so crazy because I feel like we go through this every single year where we have somebody that really gets out above the field in that conversation. And right now it is clearly Louisville quarterback Lamar Jackson.
Okay, I mean,
Lamar,
good. I thought you were going to say Jabril Peppers for a second. I was going to say, hold up.
Why would I say? Up. No, not. I mean, Lamar Jackson is a walking highlight film right now. I mean, every single week you watch this kid play, and, you know, you have Michael Vick tweeting out, you know, oh, he's 10 times better than I was when I was at Virginia Tech. I mean, you look at what he can do with his arm. You look at how smart he is out there, his elusiveness. Lamar Jackson is the clear favorite right now. But let's let this season play out, man. It kills me how people come out. Now, again, it's fun to have that discussion. But we've seen guys have great starts to the year, and they get out ahead of that Heisman Trophy conversation. but fizzle out as the year goes on. I want to see if Lamar can keep this going. Right now, Louisville rated the number three team in the nation, the highest ranking. That ties the highest ranking they've ever had in program history. I'm excited to see what this kid can do. I think Lamar Jackson, though, is raw talent, and I think he will keep it up. Let's just temper that conversation for right now.
Well, I'm
I
excited love to see what this team in Louisville can do well. Because
right.
Bobby Petrino has done a fantastic job over
there
transforming this program. And let me take you back just a few years. It all started with Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, you're right.
He's been fantastic as an ambassador for that program. He put them on the map, and ever since, they haven't gone anywhere. The other thing is, when Louisville beat Florida State, or absolutely destroyed them, I thought Florida State was decent. I honestly did.
Dalvin DeAndre
Cook
Francois
is still there.
Right.
DeAndre Francois.
Right.
And Louisville just absolutely ran them over. So Louisville Cardinals, I think they're for real. Every single year, the ACC has that one team. I think Louisville's the team this year.
They look
even
very
more than
good.
Clemson.
Very, very good. And, you know, you know, Lamar Jackson, you talk about must-see TV, he is certainly that. All right, listen, 3 minutes left here in the show now. We love to close out the week here on Current Sports with Reflection Friday, where we take a look at the week that was and bring you some of our favorite moments, some of our favorite interviews, and maybe a few stories that we did not get a chance to chat about. Here we go. Before I reflect a bit on, I think the obvious one for me is the whole Colin Kaepernick situation and all of just the racial tension we've seen throughout this week in our nation, Isaac. That's the big one for me. But before I move forward, I want to talk about the Lions and Packers. The Lions go to Lambeau Field this Sunday. They're coming off a heartbreaking loss to the Tennessee Titans in their home opener. Lions lose this game against the Packers, I think, Isaac, on the road. That's a tough environment. You know, emotions are kind of depleted after what happened last week. It's tough to win at Lambeau Field. And the Lions' history at Lambeau Field is not great. Lions lose this game by, I think, if I had to put a number on it, 10 points, Isaac.
Just to get you back a little bit, if LSU couldn't win a team that won a championship in 2007, I don't think a team that hasn't won a playoff game since 91 can either. So
anyway,
I'm sorry, Lions fans. I just had to do that. There's been too much LSU hate recently.
I'm just keeping it real.
My reflection would have to be Paul Feinbaum. Though, going off on Michigan fans, calling them all whiners, and I think Feinbaum, quite frankly, is on point a lot of the time. With that comment and then the Alabama comments, I think he's an incendiary radio host. I'm not calling all Michigan fans whiners.
Paul
but
Feinbaum
type
is very biased, first
yes,
off. Let's put that out there.
Well, but biased towards the SEC, but not towards Bama. I think he's a fair radio host, and I thought it was a fair criticism of the caller.
Did you say Paul Feinbaum is a fair radio host?
Fair.
Stop it, Isaac.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Fair in that he doesn't favor Alabama. He goes off SEC bias, but not Bama.
You are so lucky we got 30 seconds left here in the show. I listen to Paul Feinbaum periodically, you know, on SiriusXM, and I got an interesting opinion on him, which I'll pocket for Monday's show. But I think he was on point to a degree with his comments about U of M. So we'll have so much chatter on that and more on Monday as we recap what took place in the weekend of sports. But hey, folks, we are out of time. We'll see you on Monday. Take care and be easy, people.